Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Wednesday edition of the show. Glad you're with us today. A lot to get to today. Last night, the NBA draft lottery, and who came out number one? New Orleans. That was interesting to see. Of course, kind of some new, I don't even understand the particulars, to be quite honest with you, on the odds and the weighted votes that are weighted ping pong balls in the machine that the different teams got as to who had the best chance to win the lottery and get the first pick in the NBA draft. But obviously New Orleans was not one of the favorites. I think it was New York, the Knicks, and maybe a couple other teams. But the reason I paid attention to that last night is probably for the same reason you did, is that Romeo Langford obviously gearing up for the NBA Combine this week. The G League workout, the elite camp they called it, it's already in the books. Now they're getting ready for the Combine and some other activities later this week. And I don't know that we expect Romeo to be a lottery pick, which is picks 1 through 14, but I do think he's got a chance to be at the backside of that lottery, especially after some meetings and interviews with teams later in this week. And also, I said I thought we would hear something or learn some things about Romeo and his NBA prospects this week. And after the week concludes, you get some updated mock drafts and big boards and things like that that maybe have a little more weight to them because, A, we're getting closer to the draft, and, B, in Chicago, a lot of the decision makers will talk with the media and the guys that do these mocks and these big boards, and so they'll have a much clearer view on things when they leave Chicago this coming weekend. But we've actually kind of heard a lot, I think, from Romeo already, some media opportunities for him yesterday. There was a really great Q&A that was done with Romeo on the Hoops Hype website by Alex Kennedy, who covers the NBA for Hoops Hype and covers a lot of NBA draft stuff. It was basically a Q&A format, a lot of interesting things that he covered with Romeo. We're going to talk about some of them coming up. But interestingly enough, a number of the mocks going into this week's activities, and I think when we say activities for Romeo Langford, we're more so talking about some interviews and some maybe some measurements and things like that, because he did say yesterday his thumb is still, his finger, his hand is still healing, and he hopes the cast will be off soon. But again, I don't expect him to play in any of the games or anything this week in Chicago, but kind of learning a little bit more about what could go on for him or what is going on with him. There have been some rumors that he's working out different places, not for NBA teams yet, but just, you know, starting to get back on the court and do some things to get ready for what could come between now and the draft. So interesting stuff on that. We'll cover that some today with our guest and in the first segment with the headlines as well. Let's take a look at the full lineup for the show today, presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. We'll have our Hoosier headlines in the first segment. We'll talk some Romeo in Chicago for the NBA Combine, Draft Combine. We'll talk about some of his media appearances or media interviews yesterday and share some of that with you if you haven't read those stories. We'll also take a look at some updated mock drafts headed into this busy week for the NBA draft and its preparations. Also, the News and Tribune, our great friends, are getting ready for the Natsby's Awards coming up later this summer, and they always announce the finalists heading into some of those awards, and we'll tell you who the three boys basketball finalists are as well, in addition to their all-area team, which is always interesting to kind of take a glance back at the season and see who some of the top performers were and how they shook out when you compare them with others from across the area as well. And we'll take a look at some baseball stuff from last night as well, some high school games, a lot of local teams winning last night. The very exciting finish between New Albany and Silver Creek last night on senior night for the Bulldogs, and also IU baseball forces extra innings after getting down early to Louisville, but just simply can't get it done as they fall in 12 innings to Louisville. So not a bad loss for IU baseball, especially coming off of what they did in the conference at Michigan over the weekend. But they got to refocus now because Rutgers, the final series, it starts tomorrow, final conference series, final regular season games for the IU baseball team. So we'll talk some about that as well. Later in the program, I think we've got Jeff Rabjohns. He's up in the air. So if we don't have Jeff, Ken Bykoff of Peaks.com will join us. No matter what, we're going to talk some recruiting. We're going to talk some IU basketball and a little IU baseball. I think we got to talk that coming out of last night's loss to Louisville. Of course, Gabe Bierman of Jeffersonville was the starting pitcher for the IU team. He pitched very well at Michigan over the weekend and solid last night. Not perfect, but solid. Indiana down early, but able to come back and, again, just simply not get the win with some late mistakes and a 12-inning loss. Also, later in the program today, Craig Pearson is with me. Craig is the sports editor of the News and Tribune. I told you we're going to talk about the Natsby finalist in boys basketball, and they're all area team here in a moment, so obviously we'll expand on that with Craig. We'll also talk some other local sports headlines as well when he's with us later in the show today. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mentioned the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And one of the first things I saw out yesterday from Romeo in the afternoon was an interview with NBA TV, Andy Katz, who's a familiar name in college basketball and covering the draft as well for many years with ESPN, doing a lot of different work now with the NCAA and with NBA TV. But Andy, after his interview with Romeo, said he tweeted this, quote, "Romeo Langford of Indiana men's basketball said he played with pain all season with a torn ligament in his right thumb, but he's hopeful the cast will be off and he'll be healthy to work out for teams before the draft." So again, for some players, it's already happened. One of those players is Juwan Morgan. They've had some opportunity for some group workouts with teams before the combine. Of course, Morgan did not receive a combine invite or a G League combine invite either. But that's kind of what the next step is once you get through the combine this week and all the things that go along with that. Even some of the top players that are in the combine that are projected to go in the lottery and in the first round, there will be workouts scheduled, with teams that are very, very interested in them. And those workouts are obviously an opportunity to take what maybe some of the concerns areas of a player are and work on those specifically and find out exactly maybe how healthy the thumb is, how much his shooting has improved if his hand is truly better, and kind of also get an up-close and personal look and interview again with teams to find out needs and expectations and things like that. So it looks like Romeo's plan, I assume, is probably to not take part in much on the court this week at the combine, but following that, expect to see him at some point, maybe a couple weeks down the road, to give that hand extra time to heal, but see him on the court working out for some NBA teams as well. He had an in-depth Q&A. I mentioned this at the top of the show with Hoops Hype and Alex Kennedy. A lot of interesting things in the story that he covers, talking about his injury and off-the-court stuff, who his favorite musician is, subjects that he studied in school, how important an education, a degree is to him ultimately, no matter what happens with the NBA as well. But one of the things that I thought was pretty interesting was that the quote from Romeo, the question that Romeo was asked in this story, it's a Q&A, "What are some of the things you want to show teams during your workouts and meetings?" Here's what Romeo said. He said, quote, "During the meetings, I think the main thing is my personality. If you're on the outside and you don't really know me, you don't really get to see who I am. I want each team to get to know me and get a feel for who I am. I want to show them I'm not the quiet, shy person that a lot of people think I am. Then in my workouts, I just want teams to realize how much I love the game and the passion that I have to get better and that I'm really a dog. I want them to know that I have that in me." So interesting that Romeo wants people to know he's not necessarily the shy, backwards guy that a lot of us think. He obviously is in control of his emotions. We could see that back during his high school career, even that continued over to his time in Bloomington. I can back that up a little bit. I mean, being around Romeo at the New Albany program for a number of years, he's a funny kid. I mean, he likes to joke. He's a normal kid. So many reports about how he's straight-faced all the time and he doesn't react to anything. That's all true on the basketball court, but away from the court, pretty much a normal kid. Interesting that he would say that and verbalize that, I thought, in an interview with Alex Kennedy yesterday as well. Taking a look at some of the updated mock drafts, and we'll see more of these come out next week or be updated next week, but here are some of the ones that I think you can pay most attention to. I always mention Jonathan Givony. Draft Express is his moniker, and he's on ESPN and ESPN.com. He has Romeo just outside of the lottery at the number 15 pick to Detroit. That's always the one that I read first, that I go to first. Again, Jonathan Givony, Draft Express. He wrote about Romeo, quote, "Langford will be one of the players under consideration for any teams in this range with needs on the wing. The Indiana freshman played most of the season with a torn ligament in his shooting hand, but he displayed impressive glimpses of potential as a shot creator operating out of the pick and roll. The Pistons have precious little ball handling on their roster and could certainly roll the dice on a player with Langford's talent." Interestingly enough, when you move to some of the other mocks that have been updated recently, The Athletic, they have Romeo going number 15 to Detroit. And a lot of these were updated, obviously, after the lottery last night. So we actually know the order of the actual lottery picks. But Sports Illustrated, interestingly enough, they had Romeo going at number 15 as well. The Ringer, Kevin O'Connor, does a good job. They have Romeo to Miami in the lottery at the number 13 pick as well. So I think the ones that I look at, the ones that you can most trust, they kind of have Romeo in a reasonable range. You know, I know some have had him 19, 18, maybe 120 or even below that. But the ones I look at, the ones I believe in the most, if there is such thing when it comes to mock drafts and big boards, have him in the 13 to 15 range from what I could see in most of the recent updates as well. I mentioned the Netsby Awards presented by the News and Tribune coming up later this summer. Three finalists for the Boys Basketball Player of the Year Award. Interestingly enough, one senior, the other two finalists, underclassmen. Kobe Barnes, obviously, of Floyd Central, who will play college basketball at Indiana State. He is one of the finalists. Trey Coleman, who will be a senior next year, attracting Division I college basketball interest at Jeffersonville. He's a finalist for the award. The other, Trey Kaufman. And you get down far in the underclassmen range with him, but obviously he's had the kind of career so far that I think nets him a spot in the best players in the area, regardless of class this past season. And they will compete for the Boys Basketball Player of the Year Award that will be announced at the Netsby Ceremony coming up later this summer. We'll be there as well. We broadcast some stuff from there. We carry the ceremony live if you can't make it. The first team, News and Tribune All-Area team, Kobe Barnes, Trey Coleman, and Trey Kaufman, obviously, on that team as well. They are joined by Zane Gross of Silver Creek and Derek Stevenson of New Albany. Second team, News and Tribune All-Area team for boys basketball. These all came out yesterday. Cade Badger of Henryville had a great career. Jake Heidbreeder of Floyd Central, a very player in the area, really to pay attention to for next season. Cooper Jacoby, been very solid as a youngster at Silver Creek. Jacob Jones, impressive when Jeffersonville was at its best. Jacob was playing very well. and Ty Kessinger of Silver Creek, who really played a great role on Silver Creek state championship team as well. I'll give you the third team quickly. Bailey Conrad of Christian Academy, Davon Fuqua of Clarksville, Jack Hawkins of Silver Creek, Julian Hunter of New Albany, freshman, sophomore-to-be Will Lovings-Watts, who is going to have a great career here in the area, Darren Starks of Jeffersonville as well, and a number of all-area teams. Coach of the Year, Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek, and this all came out in yesterday's edition of the News and Tribune. We'll talk more on this a little bit later in the show with Craig Pearson, the sports editor, when he joins us as well. Some high school games last night. Crazy game at New Albany. It was senior night, and Silver Creek got off to a decent start. They had a lead for a great part of the game. New Albany came surging back later in the game to take an 11-10 score and win it in extra innings. Cody Medley again coming through with some big pitching for New Albany to record the win in that game. Couple home runs in the game as well. Tyler Capist for Silver Creek and Holden Grower as well. Both had home runs. Silver Creek with the loss, 18-6. They're having a terrific season and should definitely compete for a sectional championship coming up here next, week and a half from now. New Albany, 20-6 on the season as well, having a great season and, of course, getting ready for an upcoming matchup against Jeffersonville in the sectional. Last night, Jeffersonville was an easy winner over Madison last night. It was senior night as well for the Devils, and Floyd Central was victorious in high school baseball last night also. And, of course, a big game last night, the IU hosting Louisville, Indiana playing great baseball at the right time of year. Great crowd, you could tell on hand. It was on Big Ten Network at Bart Kauffman Field. And Indiana got to a 6-0 deficit. Then they rallied to send the game to extra innings with the score tied at 7-7. Louisville would go on to win by an 8-7 win in 12 innings play. Some late mistakes by Indiana dooms them. Of course, Gabe Bierman was the starting pitcher for Indiana and has had some great performances as of recently. Solid performance, not great. Obviously, anytime your team gets down and you're the pitcher, not a great performance. But what a career he's having at IU, and what a prospect he's going to be in the future as just a freshman for this Indiana team that's getting the opportunity to come in or to start in big spots for this IU team. He did so against Michigan, recorded a save over the weekend. And, of course, they think enough of him to give him the start in a big game, a non-conference game, to close the regular season, final week of the regular season against Louisville last night. I mentioned that Rutgers is next for Indiana, a three-game series that starts on Thursday, ends on Saturday, and, of course, after that it's the Big Ten tournament. Indiana looking like they've got a great opportunity to get to the NCAA tournament. I know there's been some talk about IU maybe if they close out the season, of course, last night with a win and win the series, win all three games against Rutgers, that there was a small chance they host an NCAA regional. And from what I understand, talking with some people that follow it a lot more closely than what I do or others that may be on our show from time to time talking about it, really, really small percentage of an opportunity for Indiana to host anything, but obviously a great percentage for them to get in the tournament and have some postseason baseball this year. We'll see if Indiana can close the season out strong and do some damage in the Big Ten tournament. They'll be one of the front runners, obviously, in that tournament coming up here next week. That's a look at the headlines. The Hoosier headlines are summary each day of the top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk with either Jeff or Ken, somebody from Pigs.com, IU basketball, recruiting, IU baseball, and a lot more coming your way next. This is a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Okay, we're back. Ken Bykoff of Pigs.com is with us in place of Jeff Rabjohns today. And, Ken, I know you were at the IU baseball game, so you saw a great game last night. It didn't come out in the side of the Hoosiers, but a late night of baseball with some extra innings played. And Indiana's been playing some really, really good baseball. Those extra innings of play, maybe a little sloppy, not the best that we've seen here in recent weeks by this very good Hoosier baseball team.
Yeah, it was definitely a late night at the Bart. I think the game went in like 4 hours and 47 minutes. Mm. It was deep, but you know, it was an interesting game because of the fact that Louisville got out to that 6-0 lead and then Indiana was able to rally. But it was also a bit of a sloppy game, to be quite honest with you. There were a lot of mental errors. You had 6 total fielding errors. You had some base running mistakes. These were not two teams playing at their absolute best. And so you want to be playing your better baseball, and that's something that head coach Jeff Mercer talked about after the game, that he hopes that the mistakes that Indiana made on the diamond were, you know, the last breath of those kind of mistakes. Because late in the game when Indiana had an opportunity to maybe push a run across and pick up the winning run, instead of a guy trying to move a guy over on with an at-bat, he was trying to win it with one swing. And his key was that as Indiana goes into this final regular season series against Rutgers and into the Big Ten tournament and beyond, that Indiana has to be willing to do the things to win without getting selfish, basically, at the plate or getting selfish in the field. And that is going to be important for this team. You know, this is a group, they struck out 23 times against Louisville yesterday, and that is way too many, especially for a team that already has set its single-season record for most strikeouts in a season, and there's still a series to go in the regular season. So there's a lot of work to be done, to say the least, but it was a great crowd, great night, and it made for an interesting game.
Yeah, it looked like a lot of fun. Of course, on the Big Ten Network, the extra innings. I was at a high school event last night, but extra innings allow you to get back and see the end of that game, even though it didn't go the Hoosiers' way. What is the best-case scenario for the Big Ten Conference for this IU baseball team? Obviously, they close Big Ten play in the regular season with a 3-game series with Rutgers coming up later this week, and recorded a couple big wins on the road in the Big Ten at Michigan over the weekend. So Michigan, I believe, still leads things, but it's getting closer. What could IU's best bet be to finish out the Big Ten season?
Well, it really depends on what Michigan does as well. But Indiana sweeps Rutgers, Michigan loses, Indiana's going to win a Big Ten championship. By that same token, if Indiana struggles over the weekend and some other teams in the conference do well, they could fall to, I think it was as far as 5th or 6th in the conference. It's a tight conference right there. There's a lot of opportunities in front of you, but there's also a lot of teams that are playing with a lot on the line. And so the key for Indiana is that they just have to get their bats going. Part of the problem early in the game against Louisville, and this has been a problem all year, is that against decent pitching, they just haven't been able to be consistent. And they finally got to Louisville's Jack Perkins in the bottom of the fourth inning and started making things happen. And it's been a real feast or famine for this team because they could put up big numbers, but good pitchers have shut them down, and they just have to find consistency.
Talking with Ken Bykoff. Ken is with Pigs.com and covered the IU-Louisville baseball game last night for the Pigs.com website. Big Ten tournament coming up, and, of course, NCAA tournament after that. I'm not as familiar with the format, obviously, as baseball or with basketball and other sports, but this Indiana team with a great opportunity for postseason baseball beyond the Big Ten tournament, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's there's a lot of speculation that maybe, you know, that Louisville team is going to end up hosting a regional, and it certainly seems like that might be the case in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, if that's the case, there's a chance Indiana ends up as a 2-seed in that Louisville regional, and that certainly would be interesting and a lot of fun. And, you know, this is just an IU team that has a lot of opportunities ahead of it. And a big part of what they ran into against Louisville and at other times during the year has just been some mental errors and some mistakes that are avoidable. And the good part about that is that's something certainly that can be fixed in season. It's not a skill thing. It is a matter of knowing which base to throw to, knowing where you're going with the ball, knowing the number of outs, knowing the situation at the plate. You could correct that. And that was something that Mercer talked to his team about after the game, that they let an opportunity to beat one of the better teams in the country slip away because of some of the mental things. Now it's just trying to fix that. And one way that that can happen is when you do get into a postseason situation where you kind of clean slate the rest of the regular season and say, okay, this is the only thing that's important now isn't what I did last week or the week before. The only thing ahead of us is the next game. And there are times when that can really focus a team in a way that you might not be focused on a midweek game, a non-conference game. So I think that is something that they're looking forward to, trying to get through that Big Ten tournament with a lot of confidence and just feeling good. And then once you get into the NCAA regionals, again, the next pitch is the biggest thing, so it helps you focus a little bit more.
Absolutely. What I guess if Indiana cannot host a regional, to come to Louisville for IU fans would probably be the next best opportunity. And again, with what we've seen between IU and Louisville, not just last night but in recent years, it's been a real good rivalry. There was some connection with previous coaches at IU and, of course, Coach McDonald at Louisville. That's changed a little bit, but I think it's safe to call it a good natural rivalry for a number of reasons, and both programs very competitive. Let's talk some basketball, Ken, while you're with us. Neat to see Romeo Langford yesterday kind of make the rounds for a couple interviews related to the NBA draft in Chicago for the Combine. He was on NBA TV with Andy Katz. There was a nice Q&A with him on the Hoops Hype website, where I felt like, and I'm not sure, I know you were covering the game, I'm not sure if you've seen all this or not, but I guess the thing that was pretty cool is a guy that's known Romeo and watched Romeo and been around Romeo and obviously talked a lot about Romeo on the show over the years, from his high school days through his recruiting, through his freshman year at IU, and now through likely an NBA career, was he seems to really, each time you get an opportunity to hear from him in an extended scenario, whether it's on TV or just a simple written Q&A, he gets better with the media, and he's got more to say, and his answers are longer, and he's more willing maybe to dive into some personal stuff. And I know one of his responses yesterday was that he wants the team to know he's not this shy guy that a lot of people think he is, and I'm paraphrasing there. But I thought it was neat to see some of the things he had to say yesterday in advance of a big week. It may not be a big week on the court for him as he still recovers, but it's definitely a big week with meeting with teams and other things that go along with this process and getting ready for the draft in June.
Well, you know, part of that has to do with just his maturation, you know, just growing up a little bit, going through things, step by step. Every player goes through it. I do think that, you know, his comments about, I'm not this quiet guy, and that, I understand that, and if that is the case, then it's going to be very important to show it. When people talk about the fact that you're a quiet guy, that they're unsure that you're a leader on the court and that you could be a leader, I think that gets players' attention, and then they have to start showing it. You know, and my thing with Romeo is, if you are you aren't a quiet guy, show it, and you have to show it, and it's not, it can't just be lip service. So I saw those comments and I thought, okay, that's fine. But I really wish I had seen some more of that last season. You know, when you were playing on the court and your team needed that leadership. If you're not that quiet guy, that would have been a perfect opportunity for you to show it. So I just wonder if some of those comments are in response to some of the criticism that he's gotten. Now, that said, again, people get more comfortable, and he is unquestionably doing what he wishes he would have been able to do last year. I mean, look, you know, he came to IU, everybody knowing he was a one and done. Without that rule, he would have unquestionably been in the draft last year. And so he, you know, just getting to the point that you've been looking forward to, I think is important, and it just might make him feel more comfortable to speak out a little bit, because that's a big key when it comes to players and making that move from college to the pros. Is, yeah, you want to be a good teammate in the NBA. For college, the head coach is the face. In the pros, it's far more the players. And so you know, guys just feel more comfortable speaking out and just saying a little bit more of what's on their mind than having to answer to, you know, some people at the college level. And I think that Romeo might just be stretching his legs a little bit with that part of the equation.
Talking with Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, here on a Wednesday edition of the program. I know that none of us know for sure. You know, we've seen over the years different situations where players maybe had a bad year or an off year, had an injury as Romeo did that they're recovering from, and how that can, it sometimes even help their draft status if they've slid a little bit, because in Romeo's case of the shooting, is it's quite clear. Do you think there's still a chance, now that we know the lottery, the order, do you think there's a chance for him to slide into that top 14, which I know is a big deal money-wise, I guess. Still the first round is the overall key, and I'm sure goal, but you think he could still slide into the lottery maybe on the back end of that, or is that wishful thinking?
Yeah, that's going to depend on workouts and you know, what you have to what you're able to convince teams that you're able to do, because again, the biggest thing with the draft is you don't have to convince all the teams that you are worth the pick. You have to convince one of the teams. And so if he clicks with one of the team's front office, if he clicks with the scouts, if they see something that they can mold in him, yeah, he could go ahead and he can move up in the charts. And that's the thing. That's why you see the mock drafts, and they're good, you know, basically measuring sticks. But in terms of when you're on the board, it comes down to those relationships that you've built with the different scouts, the different GMs along the way during this process that he's going through right now. So is there a chance that he could move up? Absolutely. Is there a chance that he could slide? Absolutely. It all comes down to your interactions with those people that are making those decisions. And if you're able to just raise somebody's eyebrow with something that they like, you know, certain guys like certain traits in players over others, you know, whether it be just a personality trait that they like a guy like that, that, you know, even if the next year the GM was different, he might not like that same thing. So it really is, as much as anything, about skills, sure, but relationships and personality traits and how you click with the people. And again, you don't have to convince everyone to pick you. You just have to pick one and convince one. And so anything's possible with that kind of situation.
Talking with Ken Bykoff of Pigs.com. Ken, I want to close with this, another basketball topic, and it's really not related to IU, but it is the Big Ten Conference. I think a lot of people still trying to grasp that John Beilein is leaving Michigan, and if you needed any proof, I saw a couple photos of him last night in Chicago at some of the NBA meetings and gatherings, and of course the lottery went on last night that are going on there this week. But there's been all kind of names, and just like when the IU job came open, everything from Billy Donovan to Tony Bennett to other college coaches to younger guys in the mid-major ranks to former players. The names are endless that have been put on, you know, hot boards for potential coaches to replace Beilein at Michigan. My question to you is this: do you think at this point in the middle of May, and it's smack dab in the middle of May right now as we talk on May 15th, do you think with Coach Beilein departing for the NBA that Michigan can make a big-time hire like someone from that upper echelon of names being floated out there? Or do you think it might be, you know, a hire that at first looks disappointing to Michigan fans or doesn't create an electric environment like one of those big names would if they were hired to replace him after his departure to the NBA?
Yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, it's really tough to say because, you know, it all comes down to what your definition of a big splash is, and that is going to be critical. You know, I think UCLA, certainly when they hired Mick Cronin, they hoped that they would have a bigger name than that when they set out there. It's a tough time because, like you said, it's mid-May, and so making that transition, making a hire, means you have to convince somebody to leave. You know what? You know, when they're well into their off season, just efforts of trying to make their team better. So it's tough to say. You know, I am a little bit curious about who they're going to be able to get. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they end up, and this is just me speculating here, just them going toward, you know, a situation like, you know, a former player or something, or go to an assistant coach, something like that, you know, I think could be real interesting. I know that Billy Donovan's name has been floated out there. I think that he kind of likes being in the NBA. He's fine with that. Juwan Howard, I think, is kind of an interesting option, too, because he's an assistant coach with the Miami Heat. He certainly has the ties with the school. I don't know. It's been it's interesting, but there will be guys that are willing to take a look at it because it's certainly a very good program. I think it's a brilliant move by Beilein to move on, to be quite honest with you. And I know a lot of people are surprised by that. I was certainly surprised by it. But when you consider that he's 66 years old, at some point you get tired of begging 17-year-old kids to come to play for you. You're going to get paid well. You're going to be everything's going to be first class in the NBA. Not that it isn't at Michigan, but first class in the NBA. You don't have to worry about guys getting to class and all of that kind of stuff. It's guaranteed money for him. 5-year contract. It could take him to him being 71 and wanting to retire. To me, it was a great move on his part, and he leaves Michigan in a very good state. So they should be able to bring in somebody who has the opportunity to be successful right away. So it's a very interesting job, to say the least. There's just the question of, do they want to take a risk on somebody? Do they want to stick with somebody who they are comfortable with, like an assistant? And it's just kind of where they want to do that now that they're in May. This would be a different equation if it was early April. 6 weeks later, it makes a big difference.
Ken Bykoff, Peegs.com. Ken, you are the man. I appreciate you more than you know, always sharing good stuff with us, and I look forward to our chat. So we'll do it again soon, and thank you again.
All right, take care, anytime.
All right, Ken Bykoff, Peegs.com. He had coverage of the game. He was at the IU game last night, the IU-Louisville game, at Peegs.com if you are a subscriber there. We'll head to a commercial break. Craig Pearson is in studio with me. He's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. We're going to cover a lot of stuff, local stuff, with Craig next. The Netsby Awards announced their finalists yesterday for boys basketball. We'll talk about that and the all-area teams for basketball that are now out. Craig and I were both at a track meet last night. We're going to tell you about that and talk a little bit about that as well. And some other topics, so stay with us. A Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report rolling along. We'll be back with Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune after this on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Wednesday program. Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is in studio with me on Wednesdays. He is an important piece to our local coverage of Southern Indiana sports here in the area. And again, a lot of the things that we talk about each Wednesday are things that he and Josh and the News and Tribune sports team are writing about in the News and Tribune paper each day. And, of course, on the website at newsandtribune.com/sports. Craig, we both found ourselves last night at track meets, the same one, and it's no surprise to see you there because that's what you do. You cover Southern Indiana sports like no other. I got my arm twisted into being the PA announcer at the Jeffersonville Girls Track Sectional. It's only, I think, the second or third track meet that I can ever recall attending. Most of them have been to do some sort of work for New Albany or PA or something. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed it last night. You get to sit in the press box and kind of outlook everything and see how it all comes together. And you get field events and track events. And just it was an enjoyable night. And you had to help me along with maybe when to make some calls and some announcements. And Todd Satterley, of course, at Jeffersonville gave me a lot of guidance as well. But it was fun. And once again, Jeffersonville, who's got a great rich tradition in track and field, both girls and boys, they cruised to the championship in their own sectional last night.
Absolutely. Yeah, Matt, I've been around a lot of bigger track meets like that over the years, and there's a lot that goes into it. So it's cool to see all the people that are able to help you know, volunteer their time to help make those type of meets happen and run smoothly. And, you know, a lot of good athletes, like you said, you know, Jeff dominated in the sprints with Alea Winford and, you know, Legia Williams of Rock Creek was second. Those two were both state finalists. So some talent there in the sprints. And Silver Creek was a close second. You know, they were giving it their all trying to, you know, win one in honor of their late coach, Daryl Kingery. And you know, they gave it a good effort. Just had a few, you know, too many runner-up finishes instead of wins and that sort of thing. But you know, they were great. I mean, they had, you know, they were very strong in the distance with Grace Rowe winning the mile. And, you know, just a good effort by them. And, you know, it was a big night for track last night with Floyd Central winning as well in their sectional. New Albany, you know, they won, you know, 10 events in that sectional, but Floyd had them in the depth department and throughout a variety of event areas. So that's just, you know, two very good programs as well. So just some pretty good track and field down here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess I'm finding as I talk to people like you that not know a lot more about it than me, that numbers are a big part of your success, not only having a team or a program, but having some depth in numbers. And you look at obviously some of the bigger schools, they're able to have that a lot because of the size of what they've got to choose from and the participants they can have. But you see a school like Rock Creek that's new in its track program, reasonably new, and still maybe they don't have the numbers that you'd like to see, but they've got some talent at the top.
Right.
It helps pull them through and make them a very reasonable team.
Yeah, I think they were finished fifth place in the team standings, maybe, just based on, you know, Legia and her sister and helping the relay place runner-up. And Nama Slaughter won the long jump and also advanced in the high jump. So she's a talented senior for them. And, yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. You know, I think even Borden in the Floyd sectional was fifth and probably one of their better finishes, and you know they're coming off a conference title, so with just 10 or 11 girls on that team, so that's pretty cool story for them.
One other track note before we get into some other stuff that I do think is interesting is, you know, no big surprise that New Albany, Floyd, and Jeff are split in sectionals. It's probably to help balance some things out, but New Albany and Floyd go to Cordon. Jeffersonville hosts their own. This is true for the girls and the boys. And the boys' sectionals, I believe, mostly take place on Thursday later this week. But one of the interesting things is there's no semi-state round, so the winners of the Jeff sectionals go on to Bloomington North in the regional, and the winners from the Cordon sectional go down to Evansville for the regional there. So you could have athletes from some of our local schools, not just New Albany and Floyd, but Clarksville and others that are in that Cordon sectional that could not see or not compete against Jeffersonville, Silver Creek, New Washington, Charlestown, that are in the Jeff sectional until the state finals. So that's kind of different, but
it really is. I mean, it's I'm so used to being in a place where there's just one sectional, and then they would go to Bloomington or used to be Evansville for their regional, and you know all the schools from our area would go to the same place. So yeah, it's going to be a challenge for our coverage as well. So we're going to have to split up to two different places and try and get some reporting from Bloomington and Evansville. But yeah, it's kind of cool from like Floyd and New Albany and Jeff perspective, especially because I'm pretty sure there's a handful of kids that expect to be at the state finals, and they're, you know, like you said, they won't see their conference rivals, who they probably see enough of during the season anyways until the state meet. So it's kind of a reunion of sorts there. Like, hey, how's the state tournament been? That sort of thing. And to see how they stack up against one another there. But, yeah, the boys meets Thursday, so that's going to be fun. You know, some of the top, you know, Jeff's got that high jumper, Victor Daly, that's had a great year, and New Albany has one as well, and Easy. That's going to be cool to see how they, if they both make it to state, where they can compete against each other. And, you know, there's quite a few others, but, you know, we can look forward to seeing how they do tomorrow night.
Hey, if them being split and not seeing each other to the state it gets more local kids to the state finals. That's a great way to look at it for the area. And I want to also, just one quick thing, go out to Jeff or Corden on Thursday. If the weather's good, you don't have anything going, check it out. These are some athletes. I think it's $5 or $6 to get in. These are some athletes that we don't do justice, at least on this radio program, and sharing some of the other stories that are probably out there with high school sports. We get stuck on a lot of the key items that we all know are mainstream, but these guys are doing some great work, and girls, obviously, and I invite you to check it out. I was thoroughly impressed last night. If you like competition in sports, it's worth checking out. Craig, Netsby Awards coming up this summer. We're going to kind of begin to preview some of those sports here as you join us on Wednesday. So let's start with the big one, boys basketball. You guys announced the three finalists and your all-area teams yesterday. And I guess when I look at the names, and I thought, okay, let's see here. Who do I think the finalists might be? There's one really, really clear-cut name. There could be some debate for others. But I tell you what, when I look at it, I'm excited because the future's bright. Whatever you've got underclassmen in this heavily talented basketball area that make the finalists for this great award. You've got Kobe Barnes, obviously the senior that deserves great recognition there. You've got Trey Coleman, who will be a senior next year. You've got Trey Kaufman, who will be a junior next year. Those last two names are reason to be very excited about the upcoming high school basketball season.
Yeah, that's a good point, Matt. I mean, it's you know, there was definitely some thought that went into the finalists, though. I mean, you have to, like you said, I mean, Kobe Barnes is an Indiana All-Star and averaged 27.5 points a game. I mean, that was a no-brainer. And Trey Coleman was, you know, among the key players, obviously, to lead Jeff to a sectional title. And they had a great year, so that was a pretty somewhat easy choice there. And the third one, Trey Kaufman, obviously, Silver Creek is going to be represented here with, you know, two guys on the first team, senior Zane Gross. What a career Zane had. You know, he's their second all-time leading scorer. You know, it's just kind of a matter of, you know, Trey had a, you know, breakout sophomore campaign, you know, that put him on the national radar. And you know, without him having that year, you know, they don't win the state title. So, I mean, you know, he's just a phenomenal talent, and you know, it's interesting to put him up there against the other two, and we'll have to work that out and decide on the winner.
Absolutely, and of course, that will be announced at the Netsby Awards, which are going to take place later this summer. We'll be there doing some coverage with Craig and others from that event. We'll also carry the award ceremony live if you can't make it out, but it's a, I guess the way I've kind of described it to people, if they've never been, it's a first-class event with Southern Indiana High School sports, Clark and Floyd County specifically, on display. It's produced very professionally, and it's just an honor to be one of the finalists, not just in boys basketball, but in a lot of sports. And Craig and I are going to go through the finalists for other sports each week when he joins me here in our Wednesday segment as well. I want to touch on the all-area team briefly, joining Barnes, Kaufman, and Coleman on that first team are Zane Gross of Silver Creek and Derek Stevenson of New Albany. The second team I went through earlier, Cade Badger of Henryville, Jake Heidbreeder of Floyd Central, Cooper Jacoby of Silver Creek, Jacob Jones of Jeffersonville, Ty Kessinger of Silver Creek. Lots of, I glance back and think back about the season as I read through this list. And then, of course, think about the underclassmen that we get the opportunity to see again next year. What a terrific year. Obviously, Silver Creek took the cake with the state title march all the way to Indianapolis in 3A. But what a great group of players we had come through once again here in the area.
Absolutely. I mean, it was actually brutal to figure out the second and third team, which tells you how deep the talent pool is. You know, I mean, guys like, I don't know, Clarksville's Davon Fuquay, for instance, averaged almost 20 points a game. You know, it's like you want to find a way to put him on that second team, but some of those point guards obviously had great years. Jacob Jones was among the state leaders in assists. So was Ty Kessinger. Cade Badger, gosh, he had an argument for first team at averaging 24 points a game and the year that he had. You know, the other third teamers, Jack Hawkins, was just phenomenal down the stretch for Silver Creek and in the state tournament. Julian Hunter might have been a better, a second teamer or more if had he not got injured. And Darren Starks for Jeff was an all-conference, guard, shot 50% from three on the third team. And Will Lovings Watts as a freshman, I think he averaged double figures the last 10 games of the year or more and just really came on strong. So, yeah, like you said, the future looks extremely bright. And, some of those second-team guys, Heidbreeder, Jacoby, Jacob Jones, underclassmen that go into next year as potential, finalist-type talents, So that's a very interesting group there. And, obviously, Coach of the Year, Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek, can't really argue with his accomplishments this year, so that was not a difficult choice. And one other thing to mention on the Netsbys, we are going to add a few different awards this year. One thing we've been advertising is we're going to recognize a cheerleading team in the area, and follow us on Twitter, or there's an ad and in our paper where you can go to the website and vote on that. And one other thing, real quick, is we'll have a clutch performer award. So think back to, basketball season comes to mind for me because you had the Darren Starks game winner against Floyd Central. You had the Derek Stevenson game winner against Floyd Central in the postseason. Those are going to be two of the top contenders there, but there's several others as well.
Craig, good stuff. And as we get out of here for today, next week, baseball sectionals, softball sectionals, track and field regionals. There's some golf going on as well. Busy time for you. Thanks for the work you do in the News and Tribune. That'll do it for Wednesday. Back with you Thursday right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.